Good morning, everybody. We're really pleased and excited to be able to share what we've been able to accomplish in our project at CDC, CCID over the past number of years. One of the things I want to start off with is really two observations I want to make. One is that this isn't just another how to implement LIMS presentation. There are any number of white papers out there that will tell you how to do that, and lots of presentations that some of you probably have attended that will tell you the things that are important to implement a LIMS. What we're going to talk about today is specifically the unique case of implementing a LIMS system for an organization as large and as wide-spanning as CDC's Coordinating Center for Infectious Diseases. A second observation I want to make is sort of a personal one I just made while I was sitting in a chair, and I thought, I didn't really understand, you know, being a hyper LIMS focused guy, that, you know, being sandwiched between two interoperability guys, so I was hyper focused. But what I learned was that Heather just made a great case for why we've done what we've done. So, and that was that, you know, no payment required by Heather ahead of time for us to do that. So, really appreciate that. What we're going to talk about today is the way we're going to divide it is I'm going to talk about the first three bullet points that give you an introduction, a little bit of a high-level project background, or sort of what we were started off with, some goals and objectives of the project, and some fairly unique challenges of the project. And those challenges are going to be not all-encompassing on the slide, because there are some understood challenges like getting management buy-in and making sure the lab personnel can participate and that you have IT infrastructure. These are specific challenges that CCID faced, or we faced with CCID when trying to implement this LIMS. Then I will turn over to Nathan Rosenfeld after that to follow up with sort of the strategy we used, the framework we built, and summarize it. The project, the CDC CCID LIMS project, was initiated in 2004. At that time, what's not shown here on the slide is there were approximately 86 self-identified labs that said they want to be part of this thing. And you take a minute and think about 86 labs. These aren't 86 labs doing the same thing. These are 86 labs that are distinct from each other. And within a single lab may have varying workflows of varying complexity that all are going to have to be met within the same LIMS system. And if anybody in the audience has ever implemented a LIMS system, you understand the challenge of implementing one lab, let alone 86. Shortly after that, it grew to 90 labs, and it's actually 90 plus labs now that we have to implement. Most operations within, as I said, within each lab are distinct from other labs, so they're operationally independent. Complex workflows per lab. Labs aren't all situated here in Atlanta on one campus. There are multiple campuses in Atlanta and also throughout the country and outside of the continental United States, so we're dealing with labs and potentially in Puerto Rico and Colorado and in Georgia that are all trying to share a common system. Those labs are made up of reference diagnostic types of labs, labs doing surveillance and labs just doing core research. They want to take a look at specimens and build research cases and publish papers based on that data. One of the things that will also address the challenge is that among these starting labs, there were varying levels of technological readiness, as a way to put it. And that means that some labs were still using what we affectionately call on the team the green books, where everything's still on paper. Everybody's very comfortable with that process. Or the next level would be something like an Excel spreadsheet, maybe with some super macros in it. Then the access database that's been internally developed. And then sometimes even an actual LIMS system, something you call a LIMS system, that's fairly complex and meets the lab's needs. And that's the key point here, is that those systems meet the individual lab's needs. So our goals when trying to implement a single enterprise-wide system was to ensure a common identifier for specimens across the labs. That sort of is a waterfall into some of the other points. Having a single identifier allows for tracking of a single specimen no matter what lab it's being tested in. Now in the future you can look it up, pull back all the results, and see a unified report of all the testing ever done on a specimen. For specimen tracking, that's great. Enable collaborative review of results across multiple labs. That's very important. at CDC, CCID, you'll see specimens come in, and for one reason or another, be it surge capacity or just varying levels of expertise, specimens will be transferred between labs and tested, very different types of analysis run, results pooled at the end of that to make a final interpretation on the specimens. Being able to use a single LIMS system to do that is hugely powerful and really simplifies the collaboration. Like I said, with Heather doing the work for us to support common vocabulary in HTML7. It doesn't do any good to have a LIMS system if you can't talk with the rest of the world. It's fine to talk within CCID, but if you can't talk with the other labs at the state level or the local level, it really, you're isolated from the rest of the country. To sort of standardize the process of generating COAs, final reports, and sending those out to the submitters, how they're sent out, how you pull data back from the system, and being able to have traceability for a specimen from the time that it's received at CDC, CCID, and where it goes, who touches it, what's done to it after that. And last but not least, to ensure that we're meeting labs' quality and regulatory standards that they have to adhere to. So some key challenges that we faced and still continue to face in this project is that I talked about the technology. There's different technology thresholds and expectations. Some labs that have nothing are happy to get into a system and excited about the possibility. Imagine the expectation that it's actually sometimes easier to write on paper than it is to put it in the system. So getting across that technology barrier. To the other end of the spectrum, which is the lab that has a system and expects their future system to work exactly the way their previous system did. So we balance those challenges and trying to come up with a solution that will meet everybody's needs. But really important point is operational independence. These labs are used to and always have worked independently. They're not used to having their data in one system where another lab could, or somebody else that's not in the lab could potentially see their data. So still being able to maintain some data confidentiality and also be able to continue to do your business, conduct business the way that you're used to doing it that fits your needs instead of being able to try and go into a one-size-fits-all type of model. Another challenge is within a LIMS system, there are global types of functionality, something that everybody has to use. So getting two labs to agree, one lab with multiple teams to agree is a challenge. 90 with multiple teams, very difficult. And then along with that, supporting all those labs, all those 90 plus labs, in a single enterprise system with multiple workflows in a single, as I said, in a single system. It would be very simple, but not practical, to have 90 separate systems. Everybody could have exactly what they want. But you can only imagine the cost and the maintenance associated with that with 90 separate systems. Another thing that Heather brought up was local terminology versus standards. So something that's very, very important that may not be important to somebody that's outside the lab is local terminology. Something that even just the word specimen versus sample is hugely important to labs. So being able to use their terminology and see that locally in their system is very important. And at the same time, supporting mapping to a common vocabulary so that we can message out to other entities, other organizations, and for them to understand what we mean when we say specimen or sample and what a test request and test result is. And then lastly, identifying the difference between what makes sense as a unit or a laboratory and teams in a LIMS system versus what makes sense or what the actual organizational chart shows. It's not always one-to-one. It could be that multiple teams actually do the same thing and you don't need to actually separate the system into the little boxes that you see on an organizational chart. So part of our job is to make sure that we understand the key differences and when a separation of responsibility is necessary. With that quick overview, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Nathan Rosenfeld to talk about how we address those challenges and meta goals.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be left with a tough task to say how easy it was to do what the challenges are. When we started implementing it, the first that we thought is, yeah, we need an enterprise solution. Well, how are we going to do it without limiting the folks who's in the lab facing all the challenges of they need to report, they need to get audited, all the compliances. And we said the only way to correctly address it is to try and look at the 80,000 feet bird view to see what exactly the lab doing, not as a whole for the enterprise solution, but individually, because it's important to understand how they do their daily job. And then before we're getting into trenches and start to implementing that particular implementation or that particular requirement, to see what they really need. So in collaboration with the labs, and that's where the management of CDC has been trying to help us and doing a great job in doing this, is forming the community, forming the people, allowing them to participate and to voice what they really need. So having said that, we have a venue to discuss the issues, not pertaining to resolve any particular small problem, but to look at the architectural solution for the enterprise. The enterprise solution was a goal. You can go in and easily, with all the capabilities that the software system has, implement 90 discrete solutions with no problems. And everybody's going to be happy as they've been using their custom systems, either it's XS Excel or any custom design LIMS, where the developer was sitting with the person in the lab and they were, I want to do this. Yes, of course, I want to do that. But that's not the challenge. The challenge here is to allow to having a discrete data being shared in secure and easy environments, so people can, in cases of pandemic or any other event, look at the data, analyze it quickly, and what's most important, have access to it, and it's going to be readable and understandable. Because if you're looking at 90 discrete systems, not necessarily they're going to talk to each other, and as many people learned with past events, of anthrax or SARS, it was a challenge to get the information all in one place, to analyze it, and to get it working. So we said, let's communicate, let's talk, let's get a big view, the bird view, 80,000 feet. What do you need? What are the modules? What are the components? What are the challenges that you're facing? And by doing this, we said, okay, let's try and develop modules that everybody likes the big catchy phrases, plug and play, virtual this, you know, intellectual properties, realities. We said, let's build the components that will make sense. Let's build the modules that will make sense, but they will serve and be flexible enough to serve everybody. We cannot resolve anything. So we said 80-20 is the basic rule. If my solution will solve 80% of the issues and I'm going to be left with 20, I'm going to be in a very good shape. So the goal was that approach, designing repeatable and reusable solution that will help us implement labs faster and also address the needs. Now, in one easy and quick meeting, you won't be able to do that. So it's a process, as Heather said, moderator said, it's a super marathon. It's 100 miles at a time. So you do this many, many iterations. That's why we form multiple subgroups and committees that will help us to do this. So it allow the architectures of the system and the group that was doing the development, my group, that to build these components that will be flexible enough to face the challenges of individual labs without developing custom solutions. We're trying to stay away from customized. It's easy to be a developer to say, yeah, I can do it. Well, sure, I can do it. Yeah, well. And what are you going to end up with is a spaghetti code for 90 labs, and then go figure. A new person comes in, looks at the code, either reserves to go to the next bar or quit. But we're trying to see if we can create a methodology, an enterprise implementation methodology, to where every new lab will be introduced with a number of features that already work, but they have an ability to customize. By customizing, I mean without breaking any architectural standards or without developing a custom code to configure them. So I'm switching from customization to configurability. I'm allowing the labs without writing code to configure their experience. And by experience, I mean two things. It's what users see on a screen every day, how much automation you want to introduce to the system, and where the data goes. So it's important for the labs on a daily basis. They do the work. They operate the instruments. They produce the results. Now, what they do with them? How they're going to see them? How most important to share, and how it's going to become an enterprise solution. So we've implemented the flexible framework that allow us to attempt to shorten the implementation period by introducing this toolkit. So you don't have to design the system from the ground up. You have that 80% of intellectual content that helps you just configure. Instead of develop, you're configuring. That's already shortened the implementation and makes it easier for people. What the next slide is going to be, it's the one that we're starting to look at, and that is looking into the data model, because that's an important feature here. We're looking at an enterprise solution. We're trying to bring a standard to everybody, but it has to be flexible. So we've not only creating an enterprise level identifiers, but we're also keeping the labs with their local identifiers and their local content, so they'll be easier for them to identify the specimens without worrying about what's the CSID, what's the CUID, how it works, why it used to be this. So we're keeping that in mind by designing that enterprise approach with unique lab can keep their own identifiers. Having said all that, the framework emerged based on all the requirements that we gathered a number of years ago. By looking into each lab, you know, when we first started, we didn't know. So we started to go into trenches and do custom. And we did one lab, two labs. And then, again, being experienced enough, and we say, okay, we need a framework. So this is some of the components of the framework that are fully configurable to each lab. They're sharing the common data set. They're allowing the users to work with the lab with discrete requirements that they have, but have control of their presentation layer, have control of how the button's operating. And it's that's where we basically drilling down from 80,000 feet into 10 feet, into the eye level, to where the people say, okay, I need that to work this way, or I need this to present that data. And that's where the framework comes to accommodate that. So we allocated logical modules like accessioning, results entry, conclusions, approvals, system edit, and system view. And we said, we're going to give you that on a fully configurable basis. We also allow you to do an ad hoc, because one lab to another, things are changing. So in order for me to accommodate that change, I have to present you with a tool set. So basically, we develop a framework and a tool set that allows you to do that. Some of the key components that we've allocated as we go along, that first observation was that we cannot envision everything ahead of time. So as we go along, we build the foundation. And the foundation means that if something new comes up, let's say studies and outbreak became a big thing and we needed to accommodate that, we didn't know that ahead of time, but the framework allows us to build a module that can harmoniously be implemented and become a part of the framework and be configurable. So we've built. Always when we're implementing, the methodology here is we have the configuration framework that allows you to design the module to your needs, and also the front end, the user experience. So every module in the system have that capability. The most important thing is the operation in batches, because some of the labs needs to process enormous amount of specimens, but they need to do operations in them, not just to accession them, but to change, to modify, look at the tests, perform operations. Working with storage, do the traceability. And least but not important, but I think it's most important things, is managing the data. Is you can know everything, but if you cannot relate to other people, your enterprise system is not going to be complete. So what we did, we've built a system that not only allowing you to do the SNOMED and LOIN codes, but we also try and create a configurable system for all the metadata. So the entire system can be vocabularized, as we call that statement. So when you're generating an HL7 message, it's not only a container of test requests and test results, it also contains a lot of metadata, illnesses, lab examination, things that need to be exchanged that are not necessarily the same between lab A and lab B. So we've implemented that, and it is on a unit per unit basis. System-wide capabilities. We do need to be compliant with a lot of things. There are audits. So if we've implemented specimen tracking and traceability, audit trail, and interoperability. For the specimen tracking and traceability, it's an event-driven system. Since it's a framework, we said we're going to encapsulate things. So you're going to just track what you need. I mean, you can track everything, but that's going to explode the database. It's going to become cumbersome, and you need to read it too. You know, having said that, okay, I'm tracing it, but how you're tracing it? It has to make sense. It has to be on a content basis. So if you did that procedure, that needs to be recorded. Do not record that you've changed 16 tables and 55,000 fields. No. look at the content. It has to make sense. It has to present the data in a readable way. This is what the enterprise framework is. It's allowing you to perform your job, but also get the results back. Okay, I've done it. How I done it? Where I can get to it? Can I report it? Can other people see it? So that big thing of my lab does things and I don't want other people to see it, but not all of it, some of it. So I do studies, I want them to be shared. I do individual specimens, I don't want them to be shared. So that kind of flexibility, and also who done what? You know, I've changed that, who did this? I approved that, who it was. The most important thing is taking the specimens from preliminary to amended, to corrected, how you're tracking that. It's important to know, because if you change something and then you need to go to CLIA audit, how are you going to defend yourself? So all that has been built into the system. And on top of everything, the flip, we've worked closely with Heather and her group to see if we can accommodate it. And I think so far we've done a good job. You'll be the judge of that when that's going to take place. In a summary, again, for the enterprise solution and for the implementing, again, we're looking at 30 plus labs that are live in the system and using it, enormous amount of information that being shared and also being discreet. So we have a single solution, a single enterprise system that serves as many labs as you can system handle. So if you have a single organization with multiple teams or 90 plus labs in one solution, that's the architecture that we think works. So far we've seen it in a great number of labs. We've come up with key points here and I've been trying to address them. There's many and a lot of information, but some of them are common denominators, common identifiers, collaboration with labs, the terminology. We need to be able to give you the local vocabulary, but also allow you to talk to others. And quality, you cannot forget that. That's what the most important thing, adhering to the standards. I want to specifically thank you, all everybody who participated. It's a big team. A lot of work went into it, from our management, who's been trying to push us, from all the implementers, configuration engineers, solution designers. I want to applaud them for the hard work they've done. And I think it's a successful implementation. It works. It has its challenges, but it also has the future. And the capabilities are endless, approaching that from that perspective. Thank you.